Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And this week, we're going to tackle topics like when our partners say that we're the toxic one, relearning ourselves after coming out, and wanting a dignified breakup. But
oh my God, that word.
I pulled that word from the letter, so get ready for it.
Wow.
I know. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that we are not licensed therapists.
Yes, and we are not professionals literally in any way except for our own like actual professions. Yeah. So please take our advice. And even that, I mean, I'm a self-employed poet, so whatever the fuck that is.
I mean, we also do get paid to do this podcast. Thank you to our patrons on Patreon. We are technically professionals. We're just not.
We
like,
are not like professioned. That's not a word. We're not qualified to do this. We haven't had any training. We haven't had any licensure.
No.
I can't even like, you know what's so funny is just last episode, I was thinking about how it's been a really long time since I've had a hard time pronouncing something. And I knocked that right out the gate.
We just recorded an ad before we recorded this episode, and it was so bad on both of our parts. Like, you would have thought that we had forgotten how to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. So love you, Big Cats, our producer, and love you to all of our listeners for listening to us, even though we are not accredited in any way. Mm-hmm. Please take our advice as you see fit. We're just here to offer our humble, inarticulate musings to hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some laughs on the incredibly rewarding but mostly confusing experience that is love. Welcome to episode 90 fucking 9.
Oh, you God. Know? We need to really plan.
I know. We're going to do something really cool next week.
Listen, the world is in chaos. It's falling apart. It's hard to even know what next week is going to hold for us.
Yeah. You know what? This is like the poetic hippie woo-woo in me. I try to catch myself from being like, oh my God, fuck 2020. This is so intense. And the instead of saying the world is falling apart, I'm saying the world is revealing its true potential for both pain and growth, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to like keep a positive outlook on what is a really, really overwhelming year.
Yep.
You want to dive into our check-in topic?
Yeah, let's get started. So our check-in topic today comes from a letter writer, a chronic overthinker who is writing from my twirling brain, which I think
is
the best place to be from.
I have vacationed there many a time.
Yeah, no, I just live there.
I own
constantly.
A townhouse there. It's the only investment I've ever made in property.
Yes. Okay. So chronic overthinker basically is like, broke up with my ex. Things are, you know, I feel like I'm past it, but I can't help sometimes just thinking about him. Mm. And so the question is, how do you stop thinking about a past relationship? And is it okay if my ex pops into my head, even though I am completely over him? So Sierra, does this ever happen to you?
Yeah, let's talk about exes. Yes, absolutely. And I want to like just say that I think what the letter writer is talking about is a little bit different than what we think about when we think about triggering. You know, I think the letter writer is just saying about like when your mind wanders to the past, right? And to that point, or to both of them, right? You can't stop yourself from being triggered, and you can't, you just can't stop your brain from like going back to the past. Mm-hmm. There is no like cement barrier that you can put between your brain and that. It is just your subconscious is like, there's too many things going on in the world that will remind you of your past or just even your own thought process, right?
For sure.
Like and to that point, I just want to say like, it's not your fault and nothing is wrong and you're not like preventing your healing by your brain, your subconscious turning to your ex.
Yeah. And I think, a couple things about that is like, First of all, it's not like this head and heart work that we are doing is not about like preventing us from having these thoughts or having these feelings, right? Like that's never going to happen. Our brains are wired a certain way. Our bodies are wired a certain way to respond to and react to things. The reality is that we can, what the head and heart work is trying to do is get us to a point where we can respond and react in ways that we want to. So you're always going to think about your ex. How do you respond to thinking about your ex? Does it like shut down your whole day because you're like, oh my God, I just thought of this person? And that's like, that is honestly an okay response. But how can you build up the ability to say like, oh, I just thought about my ex. Interesting. Let's move on. Right.
Yeah. How do you relate to this? I mean, we were talking earlier about thinking about like privately, we were talking about like thinking about your shitty abusive ex, in context to some things that are going on in our world. Like how do you think of him and put distance between you and your life and that thought in a safe and effective way?
Yeah. I think one of the things that I mostly do is like, I literally have to remind myself that I'm safe. Which I think is one of the things that has helped me most when it comes to those like triggering things. So like for folks who don't know, there's a lot of shit going down in the Minneapolis music scene right now where people who have been abusive or people who have sexually assaulted people are really being called out very publicly. And it is, I would say it is overwhelming the sheer amount of shit that is coming out. And so watching this all unfold, like I'm not a part of it, but because of you and Spencer, I am like watching it happen, right? has gotten me thinking a lot about my abusive relationship with my ex, and thinking about the ways that people are talking about how these people treated them are the ways that my ex treated me, right? And so it's been hard to think like, to be reminded of all of those ways in which he really controlled and manipulated me in ways that were not good for me. And so like what I have to do in those moments, because it immediately sends my shoulders up to my ears, right? Like it immediately like clenches every muscle in my stomach. And I have to say to myself, I am safe, right? Like my body is having a visceral reaction to the danger that it thinks that it's in. And I have to say, you don't need that right now. You are safe. You are okay. And that really helps me to like, to relax myself, relax my body, and then be able to think about the things that he did and say, yes, remember this happened. We have worked through it. We are continuing to work through it. And also we learned from it. We are a different and better person because of that thing that happened. I didn't need to go through it to become a bigger and better person, but because I did, it helps me know how I want to treat people. It has helped me know how I deserve to be treated. And that is like, that's where the place where I have to go back to in those moments in order to like settle myself instead of just being like in a frenzy. But we were just talking about this, like I'm still feeling like really high levels of anxiety about something that has nothing to do with me, but that is reminding me of the things that I went through.
And I just made like, that connection when you were talking to, cause Sam had said like, I'm feeling anxious today and he couldn't pinpoint why. But when you were talking, I was like, oh, of course. Yeah. That's, you know, obviously, isn't that amazing that our systems of anxiety that are put in that are meant to protect us, like in successful and unsuccessful ways, react in such a way that you could even feel that way about a situation so removed from you. So kind of continuing on what you're talking about in terms of like being triggered by what's going on in the world to think of your ex, I also want to connect it to sort of the letter writer's experience in which they feel like they feel happy, healthy, whole, moved on, but they're wondering if their casual thoughts going back to their ex is a bad sign. And I think I just want to like, in addition to unhealthy abusive relationships, we can think of our exes, any ex at any time.
Yeah.
Because like I said earlier, our brains, you know, we cannot tell our brains what to think all the time. We are just too on autopilot for that. But like you said, it's about being able to intake that thought and give it the right amount of time and response, essentially. And so like you, what you were sharing with us earlier is that you have this intake of a thought reminding you of your ex, and you tell yourself that you're safe and that you're not with that person anymore, that that happened, but that your life is beyond, has moved beyond it, and mm-hmm. he can't hurt you anymore. Mm-hmm. Similarly, like on like a less harmful wavelength, I sometimes find myself like reminiscing about my one good ex, my good true love that just didn't work out, mm-hmm. For a myriad of reasons, but that we don't have to get into. But I look back on that relationship and that love with a lot of love and respect, and the caretaker in me still finds it very painful mm-hmm. that we didn't work, because I will feel perpetually guilty for the rest of my life for not being good to him and for leaving him, right? For ending mm-hmm. our relationship.
Yep.
That will always weigh on my heart, even as I prepare to marry my good true love that I have right now, you mm-hmm. know? And so what I've taught myself, conversely, like or I guess like as a cousin to responding to a triggering thought, is how do I respond to either a bittersweet thought, a nostalgic thought, or just a passing thought
yep.
without tapping into the nostalgia or the guilt that I feel. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it involves two things. One, acknowledging that I am present right now, like acknowledging the things around me. Whenever I feel that sort of like, whenever the ex pops into my head, I look at all my life has right now. And I don't just mean that in terms of all the good things in my life, but just presently in this one moment, I'm not with that person. I can't take back anything that happened. I can't change anything that happened. And right now I need to focus on drinking more water, or or that I have a loving partner that I'm really happy with, mm-hmm. or that I might be lonely right now, but that doesn't mean I want to return to whatever was insufficient for me, or whatever thought that I need to put in there that keeps me present, reminds me why we broke up in the first place. Just a small reminder, like, mm-hmm. like you're meant to be here, or I can't change the past. Just like you said, like I'm safe. This one little redirecting sentence mm-hmm. that puts a little bit of tension, or not tension, like a buffer between you and that thought. So the thought can't turn into something more harmful, like a triggering thought, or like a regret, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I do is just remind myself that it's okay to think about the past. It's funny. Right. That's like kind of an opposite thing to say, but that it's okay to that person isn't harming me, or that I'm not harming myself, or I'm not doing anything active by remembering.
Yeah.
Right. I'm
yes.
not hurting yep. my life by remembering. And instead I'm accessing this scope of experience that I can now learn from. And that's just it, that we can't take back our past, that our exes are going to pop into our lives all the time, because like history and life repeats itself all the time. We will be reminded of our exes, unfortunately, for the rest of our lives, right?
Or fortunately, right? Like, I think it's also like, I wouldn't want to forget everything that happened, because like I said, it made me a different person. It made me who I am today. And so I'm glad that I remember those things, because it taught me lessons in it. And also like some of those memories are good memories, right? Like I want to be able to look back and be like, yeah, I remember that time that we went to that show and like went to dinner, and it was just like, it felt like magic. It felt like it helped me fall in love with this city in a way that I hadn't before. Right. Like those are all really good things. And it's, I think what it is for me also, like, it's just like what you were saying, like you're gonna remember your past for sure. But how do you do that without assigning weight to it or judgment to it? How do you say, instead of like, oh, I'm thinking about my ex, that, does that mean that I'm still in love with him? Does that mean that I don't love my partner? Does that mean that I'm unhappy?
Right.
And instead saying like, I'm thinking about my ex today, period. Right. Mm-hmm, like just a statement of fact, or even just like, I'm thinking about my ex today. Interesting. And then like moving on. Right. Because like it would be the same thing if you were like, wow, I just thought about a yellow Honda. Don't know why, but okay.
Well, that yellow Honda didn't gaslight me for years. Just kidding. No, I get your reference.
Now anyway. I'm imagining you dating some sort of like talking yellow Honda that's just like an asshole that like always has a cigarette in his mouth. Yeah. Honky the yellow Honda.
With his cigarette in his mouth was the best.
He's really into like talking about bike riding.
That's what Willow does. Willow is a cyclist. Or like the last letter writer in the whatever. Okay, anyway. You're right. I think that you like called something out in me because I don't like thinking about my exes, and I don't like the fact that I will do it inevitably for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. But I think that comes from a place of like shame and not wanting to look at things that weren't fun. Mm-hmm. But even though I know that I learned and changed from all of those relationships. So instead, is there a way to think like, ah, yes, this happened and I'm grateful for it because it put me on the path that led me to the life that I'm living right now, sort mm-hmm. of thing. I don't know. I'm not sure if I can be that person today, at least.
That's legit.
Just not in this moment do I think I can be like that, I don't know, developed in my head and artwork. But hey, head and artwork is totally a spectrum and you ebb and flow. And maybe tomorrow I'll be, I will be grateful for the thoughts that I think about my ex, and I'll be able to look at them and acknowledge them and pass them by. Mm-hmm. Which is essentially what we're saying to our letter writer that, and to everybody out there that like, it's okay if you think about your ex. It's just how much power, do you delineate to those thoughts?
Yeah.
How much power do those thoughts have over your well-being, your mood? Can you acknowledge them, that you can't change anything that happened and let them go and to be more present in your present moment right now.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. That's real. I mean, and I think that's where we're all trying to get, but like you said, depending on the day or the hour or the minute, right? Like,
yeah,
that might not be where we're at. And that's also okay too, right? Like and both love, of those things are okay.
I love what you started with the head and heart work idea that you got from your therapist, I think. Like, it's mm-hmm. not about not having these thoughts. It's not about not thinking about your ex. It's about what tools and approaches can we garner over the years that make those thoughts less harmful to us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. TLDR, I mean, like, don't think about your ex, but like, you're going to think about your ex. But like, don't text them.
Yeah, don't text them though. You don't need that.
I just needed to like lighten it up a little. All right, let's get into some letters.
Let's do it.
I'm so excited for this first one because like I just need one in which I can like be angry. I have a lot of repressed like feminine rage right now and I'm ready to take it out.
That's legit. So just listen. If you hear your name next
today,
get ready for it.
All right. This first letter is from Natalie, who is writing to us from Confusion. Hi, Sam and Sierra. I love your podcast and all the work that you do. I've learned so much about my own emotional intelligence. Anyways, let me get to it. I've currently been seeing my boyfriend for a little over 6 months. We met on Tinder, and in the beginning, when we weren't official, I still had my Tinder. He had his Tinder. I was casually talking to other people, and I assumed he was probably doing the same thing because it's 2020, right? We were seeing each other pretty regularly and sleeping together, but there was absolutely no conversation about expectation of exclusivity. So like a month in, he saw a message on my phone from another guy. Let's call him Tim. Cue giant blow up and yelling about how I was cheating on him. To be clear, I wasn't sleeping with Tim and I had only met him once weeks previously for a short casual date. I apologize and we continue to see each other again with no discussion about expectations or exclusivity. One night, he went through my phone while I was asleep and saw some nudes. Sometimes I take nudes because I feel hot and want to document the moment. But everyone does that, right? ? Haha. Anyways, he blew up at me because I hadn't sent them to him, and that means I must be sending them to someone else. I wasn't. So cut to a few weeks later, we decided to make it official. I deleted all my apps. I blocked all the random Tinder dudes who would text me and upset him. I stopped talking to some of my guy friends because it upset him. He still regularly throws Tim in my face, though, and accuses me of cheating. A month ago, I actually found out he had Tinder still, and he told me that he downloaded it to, quote, make sure I wasn't on Tinder, and basically blame me for his insecurities. I told him repeatedly that throwing the past in my face and accusing me of cheating and being untrustworthy is hurtful. Yesterday, I was having a random conversation with him about windows, and he made some comment that about Tim climbing out my window and how I probably have cheated. I've had it. Am I toxic? Is he toxic? Are we both just the worst? Do I need to be trying harder to prove my trustworthiness? Or is that just an issue that will probably never change and I should just break up? Even if you don't answer, thanks for reading. I'm starting to feel crazy. Appreciate all that you do, Natalie. All right, Natalie. Okay, number one, red flag. Going through your phone within the first month of you dating.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And this is a call out to me because I used to be a terribly insecure person who needed proof to feed my insecurity, right? Plus, which was granted, it was from being cheated on for like 2 years. If you need to go through somebody's phone to make you feel better about the stability of your relationship, you are maybe not in a good place in terms of like the safeness of your relationship. And the foundation for it to be able to thrive, meaning there are hopefully, depending on the partner that you're with, a more productive, transparent, communicative way to talk about your insecurities rather than going through their phone. That mm-hmm. being said, a bitch has gone through a phone in the past. So I'm trying to call myself out and be like, I should have just left this person because I was feeling insecure, but there's nothing healthy about going through a phone. But I also know it sucks when you go through a phone, and you find something. But to Natalie, our letter writer, this guy, what did you write on the top of this page? This guy is bad news. Do you want to extrapolate, Sam Blackwell? Let me just call you out for your notes.
No, this dude is bad news. Sorry, Natalie. I don't actually know, whatever. I do mean to say it that bluntly.
Also, because the window comment is what does it for me.
Yeah, no, for sure. So Natalie, you say at the end of this letter, like, I'm starting to feel crazy. And I want to tell you that that's because this dude is making you feel crazy. Like, it's an intentional tactic that he is using to make you feel insecure because he is feeling insecure. Get what?
Sorry. FaceTime recording. I want to just add really quickly because I love where you're going. You said that he's intentionally doing this. He also might be unintentionally doing this, but that's because he is unintentionally trying to control you, trying to make you feel bad. He might be unintentionally putting his insecurities and his toxic behavior as a like through you, you know, whether it's intentional mm-hmm. or not, it doesn't fucking matter because it's unacceptable.
That's right. Exactly. So like we could do a lot of psychoanalysis of this dude, yeah. Right? And say like, well, he's probably feeling insecure. And rather than doing that and processing through that insecurity in a healthy way, he is trying to control you so that he can feel more secure. I don't fucking care. What I care about is the outcome of this, which is that this man is trying to control you. And being abusive. This is abusive behavior. This is the beginning of things that will escalate. There is, at this point, I'm just like...
100%.
No, at this point, there is no fixing this. There is no, this is toxic enough and unhealthy enough that I don't even want you to sit down and have this conversation with him. I want you to get the hell out of there before it gets worse. Because this behavior of policing you, of denying your reality, of accusing you of things that are not true, is textbook abusive behavior. This is like, I want him to get the help that he needs so that he stops doing this, but I also want to get you out of the situation and keep you safe. Because like, this is not a good situation to be in. And I'm being this adamant about it because I need you to hear it explicitly so that it's not like, well, I maybe it's just because he's hurting. Like, yeah, sure, it's because he's hurting, but like doesn't mean that what he's doing to you is in any way acceptable.
Yes. Yeah. And I think like, I think we're hesitant, especially people who experience this type of abusive behavior. We're so hesitant to call it abusive, right? Because we've been taught about things like sexual assault and abuse being black and white, you know, like the big scary things like domestic violence, physical domestic violence, stranger danger. We think that they're very clearly defined, when instead it is a big world of gray areas and red flags and manipulative gaslighting behaviors that manifest into, you know, can you imagine how you would feel after a year of this, after 3 years of this, having to constantly prove your worthiness, your trustworthiness, having to make space for all this irrationality? And I think where Sam is coming from particularly is like, this shouldn't be acceptable from day one, but this will this will escalate. And if it doesn't escalate, can you handle it as is right now forever? You know?
For sure. Yeah, no, and I think, but I also think what's happening in Minneapolis right now is I am watching all of these people look at this type of behavior from, in retrospect, right? With 2020 hindsight, and
so
saying
right.
like, wow, I didn't realize it when this was happening, but this was completely unacceptable and like, and damage to me for
I didn't call my homie out so and so, or you know, I think
right.
Big Cats and I had a conversation in which we were talking about how like in a community there are, you know, maybe there are 10% abusers, but then there's 90% of people who saw the abuse happening and didn't say anything, right? And so it's a series of actions and inactions that creates the a rape culture or a toxic environment and yada yada yada.
Yeah, for sure. And when you're in, speaking from myself, when you are young and in a relationship that is abusive, you don't, like, I didn't know at the time how that the behavior was abusive. Like, I didn't know at the time what was happening to me and also what that would mean for me over the course of the next, how many years ago was I dating that person? Like 10, right. 12 years. Like, I didn't know when I was in it that that's what it was. I was like, ooh, this is weird. This is, this makes me feel bad, but I wasn't like putting the whole picture together. So like what I want to do for you, Natalie, is put the whole picture together and say like, this is bad and it's not going to get better. This is bad. And 9 times out of 10, this shit just gets worse.
Yep.
So like, stop it right now, nip it in the bud, and know that you deserve more than having someone accuse you of something you didn't do. You deserve more than someone whose insecurities are forcing them to tear you down with them, right? You deserve someone who isn't going to go through your phone. And I just want you to know that like, there is more out there than just this dude. And this dude needs something that is
that
not a relationship with
them.
A person. This dude needs therapy. Can you put him on the phone, please? Because like, I need to sit down and talk with him. Like,
I told you, man. This episode, we were in a mood before we recorded this episode, and I was like, I need something in this episode, and this is it. This is it. I just needed this dude to yell at. But okay, yes, everything we said is true, and I stand by. I co-sign what Sam said, Natalie. Sam is fanning himself, which means he's upset, which means he's like high levels of, yeah, just so you guys know. Okay, so, and let's just break down the fucking window comment. Because the window comment is him reminding you that he's still in control, reminding you that you still quote like hurt him and that you have something that you owe him, right? It's such a manipulative bullshit thing. And I know that it upset you because it obviously triggered you to write this letter because you said yesterday, you know? And I just want you to know that like that kind of passive, that it's never okay because he's trying to control you. And And now to the head and heart work and to the lovey part of the yelling session. hey, I know that it sucks to invest your time and emotional energy into somebody who doesn't respect it and isn't worth sticking around for. I know that it sucks to hear like, damn, to feel like, damn, I wasted the last 6 months. I don't want to break up with him because I see a lot of potential in this relationship. But again, we cannot build a relationship off of potential. We can't build a relationship off of what if he learns to be better? These, to Sam and I, are such flaming red flags that we're saying to scrap it and start over. Like, you just don't deserve this ever, period. Mm-hmm. You didn't deserve it the first time, right, that it happened, because if you guys wanted to have a conversation about exclusivity, it takes two to tango. It takes two people to have a conversation. And although I could easily, I could see someone being in the audience or see this dude be like, well, I just assumed it. That's not a culture of consent, right? That's not a, like, silence is not a culture of consent. Silence is not a culture of adulthood or maturity. If we want to have a, we have to ask for what we want, period, right? So the fact that you were still seeing people in the first month of this relationship and it hadn't been DTR, right? Is that, you hadn't determined.
Yeah, no, we're good.
Okay, cool.
we got it.
We just got it, yeah. Then that blow up. Could have been that first blow up could have been a really great growing opportunity for the two of you. I feel like if this guy was a guy that was worth investing in, that conversation would have looked like something like, oh my God, I didn't know you were still seeing other people. And the pain that I'm feeling at right now, thinking about you seeing other people, means that I really want to be exclusive with you, you know, that like it makes me realize that you're something that I want monogamously, and I'd like to move forward in our relationship as such, not a, oh my God, you hurt me, you owe me so much, I'm gonna continually hold this over your head for the next 6 months, even though we haven't been dating, you know, very long, and yada yada yada. Like, there is a way that this could have unraveled that would indicate to Sam and I a mature, healthy foundation for a relationship versus just like a flaming pile of red flags.
For sure.
Yeah.
But Sierra's right. Like, this is hard. It's hard to like someone and then have them not be in a place to be able to be a healthy partner.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think that is really, really hard. And I think honestly, I've been in situations where I have known that and chosen to still be with that person, right?
Yeah.
Because I liked them so much, because it seemed more important for me to have access to this person than to cut them off, to let them, to give myself the space and safety that I needed. So like, I get it. But from your two friends who are seeing this from an outsider's perspective, the like that you have for him is not outweighed or doesn't outweigh the toxic, deeply toxic behavior that he is exhibiting towards you. And I say that with the intensity that I mean, right? This is deeply toxic behavior. It's not just like, ooh, this is kind of quirky and like, ooh, maybe we can like fix it. This is like deeply embedded in his insecurities about himself. And it is coming out in a way that is so deeply toxic that I don't foresee a place where it could ever not be toxic with you. I want to grant him peace and say, I hope that he finds the resources that he needs in order to deal with some of the stuff that he's going through and then putting on to you, but you are not that person to do it with him. And that sucks. That is just like, that is heartbreaking in so many ways, but that it is worth the heartbreak to keep yourself safe and give yourself space from this person.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about like proving trustworthiness really quickly. Proving trustworthiness is absolutely a real thing that some people have to do. You don't have to do it in this situation. Like, you've done it, you know, right?
Yeah, right. You haven't done, well, first of all, you didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
To make him question your trustworthiness. And second, and him, you have proven it.
Right.
So like, get out of here.
Bye. You can tell him to go back on Tinder.
Right.
Anyway, we, of course, always don't mean to make light of your heartache, but we want to be, yeah, like Sam said, we're your two friends telling you you don't deserve any of this. He's way overreacting. And as Sam said, I love that he said this, that he's exhibiting some seriously toxic behaviors that can only escalate or stay the same. And think mm-hmm. about what this would feel like after 6 months, another 6 months, another year of you feeling as though you have to constantly, it's literally mother this toxicity out of him. And
yeah, I mean, you are already questioning your reality, right? After six months of this, another 6 months of that, it's just going to be even that much harder to see reality for what it is, because this is the behavior that he is doing. He is in, I'm sorry, I won't use the word intentionally, but I think it's intentional.
Oh yeah, totally.
He, for whatever reason, is making you question what is true in order to control you. And well, if he continues to make you question that, it's going to be harder and harder to know what's real and what isn't.
Yes, that's it. I want to close off this letter, and then I want to talk about intentionality to you really quickly, because mm-hmm. whatever. So, Natalie, we love you so fucking much, and you don't deserve this, period. You didn't deserve it in the first place.
That's the TLDR.
Yeah, TLDR, red flags on fire, get out, girl, now.
Absolutely.
There are people out there that don't need you to mother them through their own, through the issues that they should be dealing with in therapy, mm-hmm. essentially. Okay.
It's not even mothering, though. It's like, they are not actively taking out their issues on you.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, I think I say that because not even in a gendered way, in like a the idea of what mothering is to nurture someone beyond their hurt, you know, like to nurture them into mm-hmm. their own development, you know. And it just seems like that this person, and we do that so often in relationships. I should say nurture instead of mother. You don't have to nurture him into a better partner. Anyway,
I just feel like,
go ahead.
No, no, I just feel like mothering. I don't want to like glamorize this. And not that you're doing that. Like, I don't think
I get it.
But like, I don't want to call it mothering, because like, then it makes it seem like you are like providing help or like like offering them guidance. But no, it's like literally subjugating yourself to their whims. Like, it is literally like,
totally, I'm trying to think of
them to inflict their reality on you for their own gain, right? There's nothing beautiful about this. Like, there's nothing like,
I'm so glad you said that. And I'm trying to think of a word,
romantic about it.
Even nurture does that too. And mm-hmm. you're right, that's not what I meant, but those words have those connotations, and words matter. So like, And so often that same exact narrative associated with those words is what's used to justify how long we love someone or not. I think about my mm-hmm. ex who cheated on me for so long. I just thought that I needed to support and nurture him to be the man that I knew that he could be, instead of being for like, sure. this is who he is, and he's his own whole person. His whole person who, you know... It's so funny. The other day, I like made a joke about that person, and I was like, well, he's another woman's problem now. And then I was like, whoa, that is so fucked up of me. Like, to even have that, even to make that joke, to imply that that grown ass mm-hmm. man is not his own problem.
His own damn problem?
Yes, yeah, right. Exactly. So my bad to myself and to the person I said that joke to. I think it was my dad. anyway, the thing I wanted to say about intentionality was just that, and similarly to my mothering comment, you didn't mean this. And I just think it's like, it helps us, thinking that abusers are always intentional helps us reinforce some of the really harmful stigmas that stop us from seeing abuse in the first place, you know, to think that every form of abuse is someone saying, no, I want to like control you and, and be terrible and ruin your life, it's not always intentional. Oftentimes somebody can think that they're a really good person and just be manifesting their own trauma onto other people or whatever it is, you know? And that's why I said that about the word. However, I know that that wasn't your intent at all. Just to...
No, I know. And you're right. And I think it's important to look at the outcome rather than the intent, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that people who... literally beat people do it because they love them so much, right?
Oh, like, God, you had to say that. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
All right, Natalie. I'm sorry that we went so ham, but it's just because we love you so much.
Yeah.
That we care. Like, and we don't want you to be in this situation anymore. We want you to have the autonomy to make decisions for yourself. And we want you to feel like you're not constantly being questioned or constantly... Yeah. Questioning your own reality, right?
Yeah.
And there are people in this world that will love you in a way that is healthy and a way that affirms that reality instead of questioning it. And this guy is not that guy. So we love you. Thank you so much for writing. We're sorry we went off on you, but know that we did it because
we didn't
love
go
you.
Off on her.
That's true.
We
also,
love
if you,
you
want to send your boyfriend to us, we will have a conversation with him.
Yeah. Yes, we, maybe Sam will.
I will have a conversation. Yeah.
I will like to get paid for that first. Okay. Anyway, Natalie, thank you so much. We love you. All right, Just Break Up listeners. We've all been doing our head and heart work, but you know, sometimes there are just those habits or ways of thinking or ways of moving through the world that we just can't seem to move past on our own. And that's okay. We all need other people and resources to help us become the person we're truly meant to be. And that's why we're so happy that this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp.
BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can connect in a safe and private online environment, which makes it so convenient to get the help that you need. And you can start communicating with your therapist in under 24 hours.
BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional online counseling, and financial aid is available.
The services are available for clients worldwide, so shout out to all of our listeners who aren't in the United States. And there's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in some areas.
We want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener of Just Break Up, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting BetterHelp.com/justbreakup.
Join over 800,000 people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/justbreakup. All right, our next letter comes from Jack B., who is writing from London. Hi, Sam and Sierra. I found this podcast a few months ago after a recent breakup, and wow, it has stopped me going back to some old post-breakup habits I have been wanting to do. Thank you.
I love that comment so much.
I know, right?
That's all I want.
I'm glad we're helpful.
I just want people to feel like, you know, that they can alter their habits even a little because of our podcast. Anyway.
Absolutely. I'm a 28-year-old gay man, and after a series of one after the other short-term relationships with guys after coming out 3 years ago, I feel exhausted. Since coming out, a ton of insecurities and anxieties have come to the surface during dating that I never knew were there. I have been afraid of commitment, told partners I wanted to be with them even though I wasn't sure of my feelings for them. I've sabotaged relationships with really supportive and lovely guys and chased after the ones that seem cold and elusive towards me, hoping to win their approval. Only when this does happen, realizing that they're, well, cold and elusive. I panic, realize I've got myself into a false situation, a ton of anxiety comes up, ending in me self-harming, falling into a pit of depression, and ending the relationship in a desperately terrified and, for my partners, out of the blue manner. This has happened 5 times now in the last 3 years, enough times for me to realize that I am the common factor. I've now decided to try being single and alone for a while, which feels right, and I'm a lot less anxious in life in general when there isn't someone else to worry about. Here's the thing, even though this is fine for now, I'm so scared that when I'm ready to date again, the same things will just keep happening. In these short relationships over the last few years, I've found myself to be a surprisingly jealous and confusing person, expecting my partner to be everything for me. And while I know logically this isn't possible, the preconception of the idea always seems to take over. Mm. It convinces me that this person isn't enough and will hurt me, and I end it. Maybe the simple answer is that I just haven't found the right guy yet, but I also know that someone isn't just going to fix all these things about me and that it has to come from within. My coming out process, like for so many people, was quite stressful. It came at the end of a 7-year relationship with my girlfriend and best friend. The level and nature of anxiety I felt at the end of these relationships the past few years is exactly the same as what I felt when I was breaking up with her and coming out, a feeling that I was losing everything and that the world might implode. I've relied on relationships since I was 15 to secure my sense of self-worth, and up until 3 years ago, probably to hide my sexuality. Now that I'm out and actually really comfortable with being gay, I thought dating might be easier. I can't even understand or comprehend the extremity of illogical emotions that have come up for me in these relationships in the last few years. It's caught me off guard and made me wary and unsure of myself and terrified to pursue something new in the future. I guess my question is, how do I distinguish between fake and true feelings? Is my anxiety about these partners always right? Is it always trying to tell me that this person is wrong for me? Or is it just a distorted fear going back to that time of transition and coming out? Or is it just fear of being hurt? I know those questions have no clear answer, but even having your thoughts at this stage would be so helpful to me. Thank you both so much for all that you're doing. I honestly can't say how much you've already helped me just from listening to the other episodes. Jack.
I fucking love this letter.
Good. I'm glad that we picked it.
I love this letter. maybe Jack, because I think I see myself a little bit in this letter. And I think we'll tackle that as that comes. But first I want to say happy Pride. Happy coming out to yourself 3 years ago. It is a long journey to become yourself, and guess what? You're still doing it. You will always be becoming yourself. It is not something that you step in or out of. It is something that you walk through. So I just want to say that. And I want to jokingly say, you, in the middle of your letter, you say, maybe the simple answer is that I just haven't found the right guy yet. But I want to say the simple answer is go to therapy.
I was going to say the same thing.
And let me tell you why. This is a totally different, but also, like, you know, we aggressively told the man in the last letter to go to therapy, right? To unpack himself, right? So don't conflate our messages. But what I read in your journey, and with the wonderful things that you've vulnerably chose to share with us, is that you say it yourself. You have used relationships to define you and to define your sense of self and to mask your insecurities for a really long time. And then you, like, understandably, you thought that when you became your more authentic self by coming out, that sort of masking would go away. But it's not about the right person, because being loved by someone else won't make you more yourself. Someone else's love doesn't make you more whole. It doesn't process childhood traumas. Being loved is just an additional thing that you can add to your life experience. And yes, love and relationships and partnerships can really give us some amazing life experiences that help us better understand who we truly are. But being loved by someone doesn't make us a more whole or healed person. It doesn't make you more of yourself, period.
That's right.
So, why I say go to therapy is because it sounds like you have been using the quest for love and for the quest for a sense of partnership or belonging, I think is a good word. Mm-hmm. You've been using a sense of belonging, finding that short-term sense of belonging to avoid dealing with some of the deeper, more painful parts of life and being a human that we often don't want to look at, like insecurities or abandonment or self-con, like our own self-confidence or self-worth, our purpose, things like that. I think I love this letter because for my whole entire 20s, Jack, I thought my purpose on this planet was to be loved by other people. And I made it my purpose, right? Instead of making understanding myself more deeply my true life's purpose. And it left me with a lot of heartbreak, like you. I think I woke up at 30 years old and thought, who the fuck am I? And how have I spent the last decade focusing on other people and asking other people to fill my needs and to make me feel like myself instead of asking myself to do that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that that's super real. And I want to say, Jack, that I hope that you're not listening to this and turning this into another deficit in the column.
I love when you bring
of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because Sierra obviously wasn't intending to say this, and everything that Sierra just said is true. But if I were you and I was listening to this, I would say, well, here's another example of how shitty I am, which is that I'm searching for this sense of belonging in other people, and I should be searching for it in myself. Like, another way that I'm deficient. And that's not the reality. The reality is that you are searching for belonging in other people because that is how we are taught to search for belonging. That is like, that is how 100%. how people talk about what belonging is, how people talk about growth, right? Is by finding it in other people and in a single other person. And I want to say to you, like, I can only imagine how difficult it would be to be in a 7-year relationship with someone, know that you're living a lie, know that in order to be your authentic self, you have to hurt someone, and then finding a way out of that into trying to live more authentically. Like that, as my therapist would say to me, that is trauma, right? Like that is such a difficult experience to have gone through that it's perfectly understandable and perfectly reasonable for you to be seeking validation from other people in that way, right? To say like, my love, literally my love or my inability to love people fully causes them pain, right? Like that,
if you want to take like, right, now.
Right? That distilled version of what happened to you as you ended this relationship of 7 years and came out was like, you weren't able to adequately love this person. And that because of that, it hurt them, right? Like, and how hard of a lesson is that to learn? It's a true lesson, right? Oh like God. Our inability to adequately love people does hurt people, but you also can't move through life and not hurt people. You will never love anyone perfectly. You will never love anyone perfectly adequately, right? Mm-hmm. We are always learning. We are always trying. We are always trying to get to someplace, but we'll never be perfect. And so that's hard to unpack. That's a lot of stuff to go through. And I appreciate you taking some time to be single. And I think that with the help of therapy and with the help of a partner that is going to be willing to like sit with you in that, you're going to be able to find a way to move into a relationship that is healthy for you and for the person that you're dating. And it's okay to have had these 5 relationships and had them all blow up, right? Like we learn about stuff like this by failing.
Yes.
We learn how to not hurt people by hurting them, right?
Yes, like, I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Right? We learn how to show up differently by showing up in one way and having it blow up in our face. And that's just the reality of it. And it sucks because like it means that other people are collateral damage and are learning about ourselves. But you are doing the right thing right now by saying like, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to figure this out on my own with the help of a therapist.
Yes.
As Sierra and I are recommending.
Yep.
And figure out how I can not put the weight of the hurt that I've caused people, the difficulty that was me coming out onto another person and try and find a way to fill that hurt with something else instead of addressing it and instead of healing that wound that you have gone through.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I want to echo again, I see my own life path so clearly paralleling this life path. And you know what, you and I, we never meant to hurt anybody and we never meant to have, to commit falsely, but we didn't know what we would be worth or we didn't see a life path in which we could say, you know what? I'm not that into you. I respect you, and I'm going to communicate my respectful disinterest now instead of faking it. Mm-hmm. Like I similarly to what Sam said about the trauma of not coming out for that long or feeling like you're hurting someone. I needed to learn, in my long-term good true love that I needed to hurt someone in order to be my authentic, happy, healthy self. And that mm-hmm. is also something that I learned through a very slow, painful process of saying yes to people when I wanted to say no, by pursuing relationships yep. with people that I just wasn't that into because I didn't know how to listen to my authentic desires, validate my authentic boundaries. I didn't know that I was a worthwhile person who deserved to have those boundaries. Like, I didn't know you could be worthwhile and say no to people at the same time.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Oh my God. And I'm glad that you focused on the coming out and the pressure of that 7-year relationship, because I know that I, like I said at the fucking intro of this episode, talking about thinking about my ex, I still engaged to be married in the happiest relationship of my life, and healthiest, I should say, that's more important. I still look back on that long relationship, that good true love, that I couldn't, that TLDR, basically we weren't physically compatible because he was a man, right? Or whatever reason, because, you know, but I still feel guilt that I had to hurt someone in order to be my authentic self. And that's something that I have processed and am still processing, or should process, in therapy, accountability for moment sure. for me. Lately, I've been like, I got to go back to therapy, and I have not made that a priority yet. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. And I also think, no, I just think about like that 7 years that you were with a woman too, just thinking like what you learned from relationships was how to fake it, right? like that is the extent of your knowledge and experience in relationships. Is I'm sure that you love this person who is your best friend, and that's fantastic, but you were still living a lie. You were faking something about yourself in order to maintain the relationship.
Yeah. Let me jump on that. Not living a lie. You were living the level of authenticity that you thought was safe to show up for. Cause I don't want to say sure. that you like wasted that love, or that, you know what I mean? Like and who knows, maybe Jack relates to the phrase living a lie and I'm just being oversensitive. But like when I was in that relationship that I was referencing before, I was just doing the best that I could at that moment. I was being sure. my most authentic self at that moment. And then I realized that I deserve more. And so did he, basically. Mm. Sorry to mm-hmm. interrupt you. Continue.
No, I was just saying that like, so it makes sense that what you're struggling with in relationships now is like not being able to show up authentically, right? Is not being able to, or is like accepting something that you don't really want because you don't want to hurt the person, right? Like that's a learned behavior from the years that you were in a relationship where you were accepting something that you didn't necessarily want because you didn't want to hurt someone. Mm-hmm. And so say like,
that is so real.
This is something that therapy can help you. And I want to say it to you, not in a way of saying like, wow, this is a repeat behavior, you should be better, but instead saying like, what else are you supposed to do if this is what you've learned? Like, mm-hmm. if this is what you've learned to be in relationship, it's not your fault. It's just that you haven't been able to find the tools and resources to help you show up differently. And you are doing that now, which I think is what is so wonderful. And what I want to like big you up for, the fact that you're taking some time saying like, I'm not showing up in these relationships the way that I want to be. And so I'm going to spend some time figuring out what is motivating me. What do I actually want? And how can I show up in a way that asks for what I want and what I need, instead of pretending like I want something that is offered to me.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say one piece of tough love, that I needed to hear was that these behaviors literally do not change unless I put actual physical action behind them. And mm-hmm. we can talk about the holistic sources of them. You know, we can talk about why you and I stayed in relationships that unfulfilled us for so long. We can talk about our fear of conflict. We can talk about our fear of disappointing people. Our, you know, and I'm using our, I'm assuming, but you know, I always felt like I didn't have a strong inner compass, and that would always manifest in really unhealthy ways, yada, yada. But I can talk about that all day long, but none of that will change, particularly in my relationships, if I don't put actual uncomfortable action behind it. And that means having uncomfortable, vulnerable conversations. That means messing up and trying again. That means being able to say words that you might be afraid to say, like, I respect you, but I'm not interested in dating you. You know, I had to feel like I was worthy enough to listen to, and then I had to listen and do the actions that I was calling for, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I know we didn't answer like half of the questions at the end of the letter, but I think that this is an umbrella conversation that covers a lot about that transition time of coming out and the fear of getting hurt and navigating all of life's complexity when it comes to dating and becoming ourselves, right? That's why humans are so hard. Like this is literally why dating is so hard, is because while we are trying to be vulnerable and intimate and communicative and trustworthy and fun and sexually exciting and all these things to our partners, we're also becoming ourselves in whatever pace we are allowing. And I think for me, I distracted my becoming with other people for a long time.
Absolutely. I think that's real. I think a lot of us do that.
Yeah.
Because that's where we're told our
worth,
comfort is going to come from. Yep. Mm-hmm. Is from other people.
Absolutely. Okay, Jack, we love you so much. We believe in your journey. Happy fucking Pride. We're so proud of you for becoming yourself and continuing down this long journey. We hope this helps.
We love you.
All right. This last letter is from Anonymous Anon, who is writing to us from the void. Dear Sam and Sierra, my partner, him, 27, broke up with me a few days before lockdown started, and I made the spur of the moment decision to temporarily move back to my home country during the pandemic. Moving home was a whirlwind. Quarantine, the breakup, moving back in with my family, and the global demise that COVID spiraled me into a depression. Therapy, journaling, good friends, and really important, this podcast. Aw. Have helped me make sense of the snap displacement out of my relationship, my city, and life as I know it. We were together for almost 2 years, and we're planning to move together the following year. We fell hard for each other, but took it slow, spending only a few nights a week together and making sure we had full lives apart. Things weren't always perfect, but we worked through every challenge together, and while we were very different, prioritized communicating our feelings. We went on vacation together, visited our families, and he saw me through so many challenging times when I was far away from home. I had so much faith in him and our ability to work through obstacles that came our way. About a month before quarantining, he started acting more distant, quote, forgetting things, not being present with me, and stopping being physically affectionate. I found myself telling him I loved him just to hear it back. I brought up these changes a few times, telling him I felt we weren't connecting as much and I was concerned. He told me that he was feeling stressed with work, but assured me that, of course, he was still invested in this relationship and had invited me on vacation with his family. I felt like I was going crazy, that my anxiety had obviously given me some trust issues. Why else couldn't I trust someone who had never given me any reason to distrust him? I signed up for counseling and tried to hold it in and fix my insecurities and to not let them ruin our relationship. 2 weeks later, he told me that he couldn't be in a relationship with me anymore and that he didn't know why, but that continuing it would be pretending. Ouch. He told me that he would call me in a few weeks so he could give me some more answers once he had some space. The pandemic was shortly announced after, and I came home. He never did get in touch. a month after I contacted him, but I got a mental gymnastics mess of, quote, I thought it would be more fair for you if I waited for you to call me, and, quote, I'm sorry you feel like this was out of the blue. The best he could tell me was that we, quote, weren't addressing serious issues in our relationship, but didn't elaborate on what those were. Side note, I know he is not seeing anyone else, so that isn't the reason. He admitted not being fully honest with himself about his feelings. This conversation was awful. It was so painful watching a man I loved disintegrate into a teenager, rationalizing his bad behavior and being too walled off to reflect. It's been a few months to myself now, and with the pandemic slowing down, it's time for me to return to the city we've lived together in together and rebuild. The time alone has been useful in terms of my head and heart work. I've come to terms with the facts that he just wasn't ready for a relationship with the kind of honest communication that we had. I believe he either fell out of love with me or got scared about our future and put up walls so he would fall out of love with me. I know in my heart that any problem can be solved with enough communication, but also that every problem is too big without it. Grief is a bitch, but I am processing through it and most of my anger has faded. But our city, which has become my home and I love it, is small and we have lots of mutual friends. We will run into each other and we have stuff, actual important stuff to exchange. It would be useful not to be friends, but at least friendly. But the truth is, the thought of seeing him makes me so deeply angry. I feel like he betrayed our promise to be honest with each other. I feel like he let this feeling bottle up inside him until it was past the point of no return and we never even had a shot at working on it together. He blindsided me. Breakups always suck, but this one felt so undignified. I am very honest and forthcoming about my feelings and his willingness to consume them but not share back means that there is a major imbalance in terms of who knows what. He knows all the reasons this didn't work between us and has shared none of them with me. The slow secret detangling himself of our life while lying to my face about it, even if he was lying to himself about it as well, is one of the most painful breaches of trust I can imagine. The thought of running into him makes me want to cry and vomit at the same time. So my questions are, how much of this pain is real and how much of it is just my ego being bruised? Is my anxiety building up to be so much worse than it needs to be? How do I hold my head up high when I feel humiliated and lied to by someone I trusted so deeply? How do I give myself closure without the sincere apology I've been craving? How do I be around him with the thought of seeing him when the thought of seeing him makes me so angry I can't be cheerful and stupid? Should I exchange our stuff and get the first awkward encounter out of the way, or should I have a friend do it and then live with the fear that I may run into him at some point? Thank you so much for all your hard work. You mean more to me than you know. All right, Anonymous Anon, thank you so much for writing. And I'm really sorry that this happened. Breakups do suck. And they really do. They are rarely, rarely dignified. Do you think you've ever had a dignified breakup?
Let's see. The one where we broke up in the bar while arguing about voter ID. probably not.
I just Googled dignified because I wanted to like have the working definition. It's having or showing a composed or serious manner that is worthy of respect.
Interesting.
I know. I love words. Yeah. So I don't know. Here's the fucking hard, painful spiked pill to swallow. I think it's possible for one person to feel dignified in a breakup and the other one to feel totally stripped of their dignity, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Because again, if we have mismatching realities or mismatching desires and one person communicates something that doesn't align with the other person's, like, the other person is going to inherently feel as though, or it will often feel as though they've been not respected because of the breach of that, their understanding of reality. Don't get me wrong, Anon. I am not all of your, you know, to answer your very first question, which is how much of this pain is real and how much of it is just my ego being bruised. I think it's very mature of you to be like, is it my ego being bruised? Like, am I over am I giving too much weight to this? But first and foremost, all of your pain is real. Period.
100%. Yep.
Yep. It is so painful to feel safe with someone and have that safety be breached in any way. It is just, that is just one of the sickest, most painful parts of the human experience, that people are not safe. You know, people we love are not safe, that we can be unsafe, that we can perpetrate this breach of trust too. And that kind of hearkening back to Jack's letter, that is kind of part of the human experience. That is a part of human relationships even, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it is really painful to have someone break up with you. And then honestly, I think what is happening is like, he's trying to be the emotionally mature one, which just like makes you feel like you somehow are emotionally immature, which is like not actually the case, right? Like, you know, I think, I don't know this person. I would like to think that their intentions are good, and that he is like trying to save you some of the reality of having these like hashed out conversations, right? Because he knows you're not going to change his mind. But I can totally understand what it feels like to have the person that you are being emotionally hurt by try and be the better person and try and be like dignified and like above all of this. And have been in relationships and breakups where that's happened, where the person's like, oh, I'm going to be kind to you by not showing you any feelings. And it's like, no, that's not what I want, though. What I want is for you to like give me an explanation and to like show some feelings and like how upset you are about this, and not like just be like, this is the way that it is. Like, I totally understand how annoying and like how that makes you question your own reality and whether or not you are blowing everything out of proportion.
I think you painted that in such an accurate way, because, and I'm so glad you articulated it like that, that he is probably trying to spare you and him something, but also spare you, because he probably doesn't want to tell you what you want to hear one way or another. Whether you're owed it or not, we could debate, but I'm not trying to... Go ahead. Yeah.
No. And because I think he can't tell you what you want to hear, right?
Like, you can't.
I think that might be the issue. Like, honestly, like big picture, we're going to talk about this, but like holistically, he can't tell you what you want to hear, period.
Yeah.
But also like in this moment, he can't tell you what you want to hear. And honestly, if I were in this situation, I think that's how I would break up with someone, right? I would also be the type of person to be like, I'm going to close this off because any emotional vulnerability I show to you is going to be an indication that somehow we are still emotionally connected when we're not, when we are broken up, right? And I would for sure do that. And it's like a dick thing to do, but it's also like, how do you not be a dick in a breakup?
Yeah, that's so hard. And honestly, Anonymous, like, I hate that we're humanizing him from that point of view, but unfortunately, that's a part of Sam and I's like commitment to this podcast. But also, hopefully that helps unpack some of the extreme pain that this is causing you, that you two are moving throughout the world in the best that you can, like in the best way that you can right now. And he's responding with his best, and his best is inadequate to you. His best leaves you feeling angry, taken advantage of, undignified, unrespected. And that, is ultimately what Sam and I want to focus on, because it just sucks. But we can't heal that pain without having some accountability to it, I think is what I'm trying to say. Unfortunately, we've talked about this a lot, like going to your question about how do I hold my head up high when I feel humiliated and lied to by someone I deeply trusted? This comes to an understanding that when we feel, actually, let me break it down this way. The other day, I said to Willow, I feel so stupid because I got my hopes up about something that might not happen, something important to me that might not happen. She was like, well, why do you feel stupid? Like, where's stupid coming from? And we sat and we like unpacked it. And I realized that whatever it is about my understanding of reality, I internalize things as though I did something wrong, no matter what the circumstance is. Like, she kindly and lovingly pointed out like how bizarrely abusive it was to myself to think that I would be stupid for having my hopes up for something that may not happen because of situations out of my control. Similarly, it is okay to feel hurt and frustrated and betrayed by someone who hurt you, right? That's okay. But to feel humiliated implies that you feel as though you did something wrong to deserve this, you know? And so I think it starts with unpacking the understanding that you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything to deserve this. This is unfortunately just part of the package of being in relationship with the people is that we are in, when you're in relationship with someone, you are in a nonverbal or sometimes verbal contract in which you think that you two are going to move through this world and hopefully not hurt each other and hopefully stay honest and hopefully meet each other where you're at and give each other's needs, right? How often does that happen? Very unoften. That's not a word, but like, you know, like so many relationships do not fulfill the nonverbal contract that they go into. But does that mean you did something wrong? Does that mean you're unworthy? Does that mean you should be embarrassed or humiliated? Absolutely not. You are a human in this very human experience. Yeah. So just touching on that humiliation point.
No, I think that that's such a good point. because you're right. There's nothing to feel humiliated about. And I think what is interesting about the way that you're approaching this also, Anonymous, is like, not only do you feel humiliated, but you also feel the need to not feel humiliated, right? And I just think that that's a lot of burden that you're putting on yourself in this moment, is to like feel humiliated and also feel like you need to not feel that way.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I use the word humiliated every time I have a breakup. The last time I had a breakup, said, I am humiliated that I spent the last 2 years on you, you know, like.
Yeah, no, that's real. And so I guess what I'm saying is like, I'm encouraging you to feel humiliated. If that's the feeling that you're feeling, go for it. If you are feeling the pain of your ego being bruised, that's a legitimate pain to feel. And I don't want you to question whether or not you're entitled to feel like this person betrayed you. If you're entitled to feel like they bruised your ego or caused you pain, you're absolutely entitled to feel that way. And you don't have to say, I'm not allowed to do that, or I shouldn't be feeling that way. All of these things are such normal feelings to be having in the midst of this breakup. And I think if you can get to a point where you can normalize those feelings and say like, yeah, this all makes sense. This is all real. This is all a very normal personal reaction to what has happened to me. It will make it easier for you to not have to have him explain his actions to you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you connected to that, because I think that the other thing I was going to say is, we in breakups, we need to, or in any type of like painful transition, we need to get to a point where we validate our own experience, our own feelings to the point where they are validated without the actions or verbal acknowledgement of someone else. Meaning, even if he says, I'm sorry, I didn't communicate to you, I fell out of love with you, even if he doesn't give you the apology that you're looking for, TLDR, he won't. that you're able to say, wow, I didn't deserve to be left like that. And I deserve a relationship in which someone communicates their issues to me, that they meet me where they're at, and that they don't, break up with me that way. You know what I mean? I don't fault him for that breakup, because I just understand that like people are inherently sucky. and that like, and that like we are constantly inadequate. And I'm not trying to like, turn him into a monster or a saint. I'm just trying to acknowledge that I care more about your ability to heal and to move forward without looking to him for things you're never going to get, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Absolutely. You don't need him to apologize. You don't need him to acknowledge the hurt that he's caused in order for that hurt to be valid or justified, right?
Yeah.
You don't need him to apologize to say, you're right, I did a bad thing, for you to know that he did a bad thing, right? The only thing that you have control over in this moment is how you are responding to what is in front of you, how you are responding to the pain that you're feeling. You cannot get him to respond to the pain that he caused you in the way you want him to respond.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a way that like he's an asshole. I mean that in a way of like, he's not gonna, he's going through his own pain right now. He's like, he is going through his own shit. Like breakups are hard on both sides. Yeah. I know you probably are like, I know that when I have broken up with people or been broken up with, I imagine that they're like sipping Mai Tais by the pool while
I'm in bed with ice cream. Have you even cried? Like, that's how fucking indignant and like pain centered I was in my own breakup. I was like, I needed to hear that the other person cried, as though that would validate my pain anymore, or like as though that would give me any relief, you know? It didn't, just so you know.
No, because then he was like, of course I've cried. Yeah. And then you're like, fuck you, you don't get to cry.
Exactly. word per word. Literally, you could be. He's like, of course I cried. And I was like, well, good. You don't stop. And you know what? Like, that's how it went.
No, exactly.
Go.
No, I was just going to say, so then your other question of like, what do you do when you run into him and you can't be cheerful and stupid? And the answer is,
fucking leave.
You don't be cheerful and stupid, right? Like, I think we're like trying to get at with this is that like, it just feels like you have this need to be like I said, dignified, or like that you need to be this better person who moves through their pain and doesn't let it show and doesn't let it affect you. But the reality is like all of your pain is real. And if you can't be in the same room with him for a while, that's okay. It's not traumatic. It's not self-important. It's just a reaction to the pain and the hurt that you are going through right now. It may get to a point where it's easier to be in the room with him. But right now, if you're like, fuck this, I don't want to be around him, you don't have to be. You don't have to be cheerful and stupid. Cheerful and stupid is a tool that we use for people who we have to be around and who have not caused us significant amounts of harm, or are doing things that are passive aggressive, or are being mean to us in ways that they're not acknowledging. It doesn't necessarily apply to someone who just ripped your fucking heart out, right? Like,
we want you to be cheerful and go fuck yourself.
Yeah, right?
Just kidding. It's a good time.
Honestly, if that's what you need to do.
Yeah, it's a good time to bring back the key your car joke to make Sam even more anxious.
No, do not key his car.
I want to touch on one more thing that is like a little bit separate from Anonymous's question, but also from their letter. Anonymous said, I know in my heart that any problem can be solved with enough communication, but also every problem is too big without it. So I just want to pull that out because I think that's like an interesting thing that we've never tackled in such a direct way. And this is an accountability moment to folks like me who are chronic over-communicators and who have an anxious attachment style and need to talk things out to feel any semblance of growth and clarity and healing and stuff like that. Connecting this to the second letter too, I realized that my anxious attachment style, my need to like communicate something, meant that my understanding of a situation and my ability to move beyond it was solely connected to somebody else's experiences of it. Like that I couldn't process something by myself in my own head. I needed to communicate it out loud. You know, an example of that is being dumped by somebody who cheated on me 2 years. Like, I couldn't just walk away and be like, wow, that is fucking the audacity. I deserve way better. Instead, I was like, I need to talk to him and tell him about how all the ways this is awful. And I didn't feel any sense of closure without that level of communication. And then that mm-hmm. really made me have to sit and think like, dang, what is my relationship to other people in regards to my own understanding? And why do I need other people to process things through? Like, I've always been like, I just need to like talk things through. But really, I just think I don't validate myself enough alone. Does that all make sense?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I agree. And
go ahead.
But I think that there's nothing wrong with like, with having like trying to figure something out in partnership mm-hmm. with a person, but trying to figure out a thing in partnership with the person that has caused the thing that is hurting you mm-hmm. isn't actually that helpful. Like yes. you and me talking about what happened to you with this dude
right.
was good for both of us. Right. Right. It helped us figure out it helped me understand all that you had been through. It helped you understand like an outsider's perspective of it. But trying to seek the validation of the person that has hurt you in order to justify the hurt, like that's when we get into yep. issues of like, why are you questioning your own reality around yeah. whether or not this person hurt you? Like, obviously yeah. they did. You're crying about it.
Yeah. And I think it's just like the curse of the human heart to want to soothe our pain from the thing that hurt us. That'll just yeah. forever be what we go to, no matter how much fucking head and heart work we do. I will always, you know, in breakups, I will always have to talk to fucking Sam and tell him to block these people for me, because my heart will always want to go back. But luckily uh-huh. with like time and hindsight, I can say nothing I ever got from those conversations healed me more than spending time by myself, validating my own experiences, mm-hmm. enriching my own life. Nothing they gave me ever healed me more than I did. And I think that's yep. what we probably want to leave you with, Anonymous. We're deeply sorry that this happened. This sucks. Breakups fucking suck, and they're never dignified. And to feel betrayed in the way that you've articulated that you were betrayed is a common, albeit still just gutting experience to go into that social contract and have all of the rules broken and denied to you. So we're really sorry, and we hope this helps.
We do. Thank you so much for writing. We love you.
We love you so. All right, that brings us to the blind date segment of this show, in which we shout out something that we think is awesome and we want to set you up with. This week, we're sending you home with
an episode of a podcast called Throughline. And the episode is called American Police. So Throughline is a podcast that's hosted by NPR, where they take a big issue that's been in the news recently and trace it back to discover the through line of sort of how we got to this moment. And this episode is about the American policing system. And I listened to it recently, and, I had learned a lot about the prison industrial complex, right? I had read The New Jim Crow and Slavery by Another Name, and sort of understood, and watched 13th also, which Sierra recommended mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago as well. And sort of understood the way that the prison industrial complex is basically just slavery renamed. Mm-hmm. But hadn't had the opportunity to really understand the history of policing in America. And what is great about the podcast is that they do talk about the history of policing in the South, which was basically groups of people, many of whom were, groups of people who went to find folks who were enslaved and had escaped and bring them back to their enslavers. And then after that, were basically a part of the Ku Klux Klan after the Civil War ended. But also just understanding the role of policing in the North, too, and just the way in which policing has been used as a way to create and enforce hierarchies of race. Mm-hmm. And that is inclusive of sort of, white Anglo-Saxon people using the police to police neighborhoods of folks who were Irish or folks who were Italian, but also at the end of the day, using the police to enforce rules upon folks of color as well. And just having them spell that out for me in such a clear through line was really important for me. And yeah. I am so appreciative of it and would love for folks to be able to give that a listen and understand that when we talk about the police and when we talk about dismantling the systems of policing that exist in our country, we are talking about dismantling a system that is rooted in racism, that mm-hmm. is rooted in the enforcement of social hierarchies based on race, and that we need to figure out different ways to make sure that people are safe that aren't based in what has been hundreds and hundreds of years of intentional racism.
Right. Yeah, totally. No good.
So check that out. It's
go ahead.
I was just going to wrap it up.
Yeah, go. No, I want you to.
Okay, great. So check that out. It's a podcast called Throughline, and the episode is American Policing.
Awesome.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. You can like us on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Just Breakup Pod.
You can slide into our DMs, send us your favorite relationship memes, but most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you get your podcasts, and please consider supporting us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you will get an additional weekly bonus episode. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod. This literally helps keep the mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Original music, recording, editing, and producing by our good friend Big Cats. Make sure to check out his podcast, the What If Podcast. And remember, right now, in this moment, you are in the everlasting process of becoming yourself. And even when you don't feel like it, you have power. You have freedom to create the life you desire and deserve. It starts with choices. It starts with actions. It starts with boundaries. And you can choose to do any and all of these things at any moment. You can choose to be kind to yourself and love yourself unconditionally. And if all else fails,
just break up.